Please stand to sing our gathering song, "To Us a Child of Hope is Born," 189. To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. His name shall be
Welcome to this fourth Sunday of Advent. We have been waiting, and today the promise is fulfilled. As we just sang, "To us a child of hope is born." Today we will hear about the angel coming to Joseph, quoting the prophet, "They shall name him Emmanuel, God is with us." The promise fulfilled.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, come, Emmanuel.
For the Lord of creation will come.
Come, come, Emmanuel.
The Son of Mary will come.
Come, come, Emmanuel.
See God's marvelous deeds.
Come, come, Emmanuel.
As the servants of God, we come.
Please join me in prayer. Dear God, we have waited with hope, peace, joy, and love. May we rejoice today in the light you gave to this world and carry that light with us always, shining your love everywhere around us. Amen.
This is the Sunday of Love, so we are going to stand and sing from the Hymnal Worship Book 208, "Love Came Down at Christmas." So please stand.
Thank you.
Helpless and hungry, verse 2. What child is this, verse 2. And then the third verse, we sing together. And so just pick whichever one you want to sing and maybe listen if you don't hear a lot. Like if we're all singing one, switch to the other. Although not everybody switch, but. So just listen. I'm sure it will be beautiful.
Come, 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 come We pray that we'll experience love in our lives and in the lives of our children, and that we have the courage to shine the light of love into our world. Love is a candle whose light makes a circle. Where every face is the face of a friend, widen the circle by sharing and giving. God's holy there, love everywhere.
Good morning.
You are welcome to come up and get a question mark if you don't already have one and you'd like to hold one. So we have been talking about waiting. And waiting involves activity, involves asking questions. And the more we wait and the more that we ask, the more we learn about God. And so these question marks remind us that it's okay to ask questions while we wait. And so today I'm going to read you a story. And this is one of my favorite Christmas stories. It has a wonderful main character named Mortimer, who's a cute little mouse. And he asks some questions. And so I thought as we read this, maybe focus in on the questions that he's asking. And then at the end, we can share questions. If you want to talk about a question you've had, you can share it. And you certainly don't have to, okay? But there will be the opportunity for that at the end if you'd like. All right, I do have the pictures up so the adults can see the pictures as well. Some of them are a little fuzzy, I apologize, but it's a cute story. All right, so this is called Mortimer's Christmas Manger. So kiddos, you can look at the book or you can look up there, whichever works best for you. In a big house lived a wee mouse named Mortimer. He dwelled in a dark hole under the stairs. Nobody ever noticed little Mortimer, and Mortimer liked it that way, but he didn't like his hole. Too cold, too cramped, too creepy, squeaked Mortimer. Each day, he snuck out and crept about looking for crumbs and tidbits. One day, Mortimer spied something new. What he spied was wonderful. He saw a huge tree covered with twinkling lights. Nestled on top was a bright, shining star. But something even better than the tree itself sat next to it on the table. Mortimer sighed with delight. A house just my size. But the house was so high and Mortimer was so low. I'll climb up the tree, said Mortimer. It made a perfect ladder for a mouse. Up, 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 Mortimer climbed. Down, 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 ornaments crashed. Finally, he reached the table. Perfect, said Mortimer. Not cold, not cramped, not creepy. Cozy, but who are you? Mortimer had never seen people so small, almost as small as himself. He had never seen such strange animals either. Tap, 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 Mortimer knocked, but no one answered. Tap, 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 no one moved an inch. I see, Mortimer squeaked, you aren't real, only statues. And so Mortimer lugged, and Mortimer tugged. One by one, he dragged the statues out. When he reached the smallest statue, he saw it was a baby. A baby in a wooden bed, just Mortimer's size. There's no room for you here, Mortimer said. Out you go. Then into bed crawled Mortimer. He fell fast asleep in the soft, warm hay. The next day, as Mortimer crept about, he found good things to eat. Cookie crumbs, fruitcake morsels, and spicy peppermint candy. But when Mortimer scampered back up to his new home, the statues were set up again. No, 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 squeaked Mortimer. This won't do. There's no room for me. And so, Mortimer lugged and Mortimer tugged until all the statues were out. And stay out, he said. Then into bed crawled Mortimer. He fell fast asleep in the soft, warm hay. But each day while Mortimer scurried about, the statues were set up again. And Mortimer always lugged and tugged them back out. Then, one day, Mortimer set out and saw the big people gathered around the tree. He couldn't go out there, so he hid among the statues. A man started talking. Mortimer listened, and what he heard was wonderful. "Since it is Christmas Eve, I shall tell the Christmas story," said the man. "A long time ago, in a little town called Bethlehem," Mortimer heard about people named Joseph and Mary and a bright shining star. He heard about shepherds watching their flocks by night and traveling wise men. The man continued, "And there was no room for them in the inn." Then Mortimer heard about a baby who was born in a stable and had no real bed, but slept in a wooden manger. A baby born to save the world. "And his name shall be called Jesus," said the man. Mortimer looked at the bright, shining star on the tree. He looked at his new home and his new bed. He looked at the statues. Last of all, he looked at the baby. "I see," sighed Mortimer. "You aren't just any statue. You are a statue of Jesus." Mortimer snuffled. A tear rolled down his furry cheek. "There was no room for you in the inn, but I know where there is room," he said. And so Mortimer lugged and Mortimer tugged. Soon he dragged all the statues back to where they belonged. Last of all, he laid the baby in the manger. "This belongs to you," he said. Mortimer smiled. "You look warm and cozy now." There was no place for Mortimer to go except back to the cold, cramped, creepy hole. As Mortimer scuttled down the tree, he said a prayer. "Jesus, you were born to save the world. Perhaps you could also bring me a home?" And then Mortimer spied something new. What he spied was wonderful. Mortimer sighed with delight. "A house just my size." There were no statues in sight. And so Mortimer moved right in. "Thank you, Jesus," said Mortimer. "You've made room for me too." The end. So what were some questions that Mortimer asked? When he found the statues, did he say, "Who are you?" He didn't know the story of baby Jesus being born and being in a manger. And so he asked lots and lots of questions. So I think we can learn a lot from Little Mouse Mortimer about love and about asking questions. And about he learned about Jesus and God. So I hope you have really enjoyed thinking about questions that you might have for God as we wait during this Advent season. And now we're celebrating love, and we're talking about the birth of baby Jesus. So does anybody want to share a question? Again, you don't have to, but you can. What question might you have? All right. Well, I'd like you to put your question marks in the box, and we will pray for all of your questions. It's close to your birthday. Oh, that's so sweet. Happy birthday. All right. So if you want to put your question marks in the box, we will pray for those when we pray for our offering. And I want you to remember how much you're loved and how much we're here for you if there are questions that you have. And know that we are praying for you and your questions, okay? All right, you may go back to your seats. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the greeters to come forward to collect our offering.
And as the offering is collected, we're going to turn to page 194, Away in a Manger.
Oh.
Please pray with me. God of love and light, we come with many questions. We are waiting to know love in our lives and then to shine it into the lives of those we meet. In this time of Advent, we wait and we wonder. We bring our offerings of money and time, and we ask that you bless these offerings to bring the light of your love into our community and around the world. Amen.
Mateo 1, 18 a 25. Nacimiento de Jesucristo. El nacimiento de Jesús, el Cristo, fue así. Su madre María estaba comprometida para casarse con José, pero antes de unirse a él, resultó que estaba encinta con obra del Espíritu Santo. Como José, su esposo era un hombre justo y no quería exponerla a vergüenza pública. Resolvió divorciarse de ella en secreto. Pero cuando él estaba considerando hacerlo, se le apareció en sueños un ángel del Señor y le dijo, José, hijo de David, no temas recibir a María por esposa, porque ella ha concebido por obra del Espíritu Santo. Dará a luz a un hijo y le pondrás por nombre Jesús, porque él salvará a su pueblo de sus pecados. Todo esto sucedió para que se cumpliera lo que el Señor había dicho por medio del profeta. La Virgen concebirá y dará a luz un hijo y lo llamarán Emmanuel, que significa Dios con nosotros. Cuando José se despertó, hizo lo que el Señor le había mandado y recibió a María por esposa, pero no tuvo relaciones conyugales con ella hasta que dio a luz un hijo, y a quien le puso nombre Jesús.
Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
It was Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Yossi's last day of teaching before going on maternity leave. By the middle of the day, she was convinced that she was going into labor. Since she wanted her mom to be with her, she called her parents and asked them to drive out to Elkhart from Chicago. When Yossi came home that afternoon, I was able to observe her condition. While I have never been pregnant, based on my expertise from our four birth center classes, I was not convinced that Yossi was going into labor. Although it doesn't always happen, this time I was right. On Monday of that weekend, Yossi's parents drove back home, and thus began a very long week for Yossi. The following Saturday, Yossi thought that her water might have broken. Again, she called her parents and asked them to come out. In the meantime, we followed through with our planned supper gathering with friends. And at the end of the meal, Yossi's parents arrived and our friends left. It wasn't long before both supper, as well as some choice words, were coming out of Yossi's mouth. Given that such words were coming out of her mouth in front of her mom, I didn't need the booklet this time to know what was going on. We called the midwife and scheduled the time for them to check how far Yossi was progressing. About 9 p.m. at night, we made the drive from Elkhart to Goshen and learned that Yossi was indeed in the early stages of labor, but too early to be admitted to the birth center. So we drove back home as the contractions continued to get worse. We called the midwife again and scheduled to meet her at the birth center at 11 p.m. So we got back in the car and arrived at the birth center. Driving a car while your wife is laboring in the back without a seatbelt on is not fun. Being the woman in labor, however, is less fun. At the birth center, Yossi continued to labor, mostly in the tub. Every few minutes, I wondered whether bones in my hand were breaking. Apparently, contractions are painful. Around 3 a.m., Yossi was dilated enough to begin pushing. Although the pushing would last about 2 hours, this part appeared less painful to Yossi. At one point in between pushes, Yossi was giving us a statistics lesson about whether the number of births are higher during full moons. Turns out they are not. There was a lot of two steps forward and one step back, but finally Eli came out and they put him on Yossi's belly. However, within 60 seconds, they had cut the umbilical cord and taken him to a corner of the room where they put a mask on his face and manually pumped air into his mouth. This was a scary time for us, even though we, and especially Yossi, were completely exhausted. Every once in a while, we would hear a cry from Eli, but mostly we just silently waited on the bed without much understanding of what was actually happening and how serious it was. The midwife and nurses made the decision to call an ambulance to transfer us to the hospital, and within 45 minutes, we were on our way. Thankfully, by this time, Eli seemed to be doing just fine. As a precaution, they blew oxygen across his face, but after getting to the hospital, they quickly decided that they no longer needed to monitor him. Everything confirmed that Eli was a healthy and happy baby. And despite needing to move rooms in the middle of the next night, we were grateful. The following night, I met with the pastor elder team so we could get to know each other. They did give me plenty of chance to decline, but I was still running on adrenaline at that point, so it was as good a time as any. I'm sure many of you have your own birth story to tell. With so many variables, each story is unique. And while they are interesting in and of themselves, they also reveal greater truths, like the sacrifice that mothers make to bear a child and give birth. And they also can reveal the role that fathers and other support people can play. In telling birth stories, we don't often include as many details about the conception. After all, it's pretty clear what happened. The exception, of course, is those stories that are particularly unique. For example, if a couple who has struggled for years to get pregnant finally does. Or a couple gets pregnant even though the husband has had a vasectomy. The Bible includes a number of birth stories. While some offer details around the actual birth, like Jacob holding Esau's heel, the stories are more often about the conception. Often these stories include a visit by a heavenly being who tells about a miraculous conception to take place, as well as what this child will become. The heavenly being often tells the parents what to name their child. Wouldn't that make things so much easier? For Abraham and Sarah, the miraculous nature of their conception was that it was going to happen to a woman past childbearing age. Furthermore, this child was to have a special covenant relationship with God. He is appropriately named Isaac, one who laughs, based on his parents' reactions. The book of Judges tells a story of an angel visiting a woman and informing her that her son Samson would deliver Israel from the Philistines. Turning to the New Testament, we see that two of the gospel writers tell Jesus' birth story. In the first chapter of Matthew, he writes, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way." Matthew, writing to a mostly Jewish Christian audience, tells the birth story of Jesus in ways that parallel the miraculous stories from the Old Testament. But he also wants to show that this birth story goes above and beyond any previous one. Verse 18 says, "When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." If you recall my sermon on the parable of the 10 young women, you'll remember that there are two stages to a marriage. First, the engagement, in which each person remains in their own household. Then, after a number of months or even a year, the marriage is completed and the bride is transferred to the house of the groom. It appears that Matthew is referring to the time in between these two stages, in which the two are living apart, but considered married in a way. While the marriage is not complete, if it is broken at this stage, a divorce is needed. Deuteronomy includes laws about some possible scenarios regarding sexual relations in this stage, but doesn't mention anything about what to do if the pregnancy is not because of a man. However, this is exactly what Matthew is saying, that this pregnancy is because of the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit. Matthew doesn't tell us Mary's reaction, but apparently her pregnancy comes as a surprise to Joseph. We also aren't told Joseph's emotional reaction, but he is likely very hurt. It doesn't feel good to find out your spouse is pregnant and it's not yours, even if this is a somewhat arranged marriage. Joseph is now put into a tough situation. He sees two options, neither of which is ideal. It is well within Joseph's right to ask for a trial for adultery. If found guilty, the law does give permission for a public stoning. I have no idea how many men pursued this option or whether they would go the route that Joseph ultimately decides, which is to quietly divorce and move on. Matthew describes Joseph as a righteous man in that he did not want to publicly disgrace her. It does seem like a righteous choice compared to stoning. It's at this point that an angel of the Lord intervenes to provide a third way. Not sure why this angel couldn't have visited a few months earlier to avoid all the fuss, but anyway. The angel visits Joseph in a dream and encourages him to carry through with taking Mary as his wife because this pregnancy has been ordained by God. The angel informs Joseph that he has a special role to play in this story. And as we see, it requires something else than sperm. As Matthew tells the story, Joseph's role is to name the baby, to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. In that culture, the act of naming a child was also an act of adoption. To name was to claim the child as his own and accept the role of father. Isn't that an interesting way to think about this story? That Joseph carries through with adopting Jesus and raising him as his own, even though he is not biologically his. Upon waking up, Joseph does exactly as the angel instructed. It must have been a powerful dream. In general, Mary receives a lot of attention at Advent in history, which is due to her. She plays an incredible role and sacrifices much to do so. But Joseph also faced a tough decision and took the risk to say yes to God. In the midst of a very uncommon situation, Joseph is up to the task. God invites Joseph to choose a path that is beyond what is described in the law. And Joseph willingly enters this uncharted territory. He is more than just your average Joe. Prior to this narrative about Mary and Joseph, Matthew tells another birth story about Jesus, which is in the form of a genealogy. Here we learn that Jesus is a descendant of both Abraham and David, which ties Jesus to the Israelites all the way back to the start. While I think we all agree that narrative is much more interesting than genealogy, both of these birth stories reveal a truth about Jesus. The genealogy demonstrates Jesus' human origin, while the narrative demonstrates Jesus' divine origin. Matthew wants to show how unique and special Jesus is. Christians, of course, have spent centuries trying to describe how this mystery is, in fact, true. And while we could spend a long time in the abstract theory world, Matthew is making a theological point, not a biological or ontological one. And that point is this: somehow, some way, Jesus is the manifestation of God. Jesus is God with us who has come to save God's people. While it's difficult to know God, we can know God through Jesus, and we can celebrate that Jesus came to break us from our sin, from our oppression, and everything which keeps us captive. God has acted in a unique and powerful way through an ordinary couple. And I wonder how we might partner with God, like Joseph and Mary, risking our status to birth something beautiful into this world. As Jewish Christians looked back through their scriptures, they noticed things that seemed to speak to what had happened. When they read in Isaiah about a young woman who would bear a son named Emmanuel, or God with us, it was impossible not to see the parallels. In addition to quoting this passage from Isaiah, Matthew wants to show other parallels too. He talks about the Genesis, or beginning, of Jesus, just as the book of Genesis is about the beginning of God's covenant people. In Genesis, God wants to bless and save the world through a covenanted people. And now God wants to bless and save the world through Jesus. And the creative and life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, which was present at creation, is now present in the formation of Jesus. This Christmas, we again celebrate the birth of Jesus, in which heaven and earth meet, ordinary and extraordinary, human and divine. Jesus came as God with us. Matthew's gospel concludes in the same way that it began, proclaiming that God is with us. In his parting words, Jesus says, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the good news of Christmas. Amen.
As a song of response, please stand for 174, "Blessed be the God of Israel."